Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone here this beautiful Sunday morning. I want to thank Dave for that wonderful opening. Some of the men that he was talking about, Job and Joseph, I would also like to mention about as well this morning. So, throughout the Bible, we have many reminders of men and women of who have gone through trials, and Dave had already shared already this morning, who have faced trials and difficult situations, and most of their trials were not self-inflicted, but were results of being obedient unto the Lord. And yet, they went through suffering and loss. We look at how much loss Job received, the weakening of his body and the loss of his family, the suffering that he endured, but in the end, God gave him so much more. And how about Joseph, who was sent by his father to check up on his brothers, and his brothers forsook him and sold him into slavery, where he was forced to go to a different country. And Joseph's temporary loss and suffering had to happen so God could use the situation to show his power and bring blessing to his family, even to his brothers, the ones who forsook him. James Hudson Taylor, the missionary to inland China, wrote, "All God's giants have been weak men who did great things for God because they reckoned on him being with them." Sorry. Isn't this true? God shows his power through weak men and women. The weaker the person is, the greater God's power is shown. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." We are just as earthen vessels. These vessels weren't ornamental, but plain vessels used day in daily work that would break at times. That is how we are pictured here. Weak clay vessels, pottery that can be broken. But we have this treasure. And what is that treasure? It is the gospel message we carry, the word that brings salvation, and we carry it in our earthen vessels. We are to be broken and poured out like our Lord, that the light of Christ might shine to this world. Similarly, in Judges 7, Gideon took only 300 men with him to free their land from the multitude of Midianites, invaders. Each man had a trumpet, a torch, and a pitcher, or an earthen vessel. They carried their torches in their earthen vessels, so the light couldn't be seen from a distance. Then when they got among the Midianites, they broke their earthen vessels. It wasn't until the earthen vessels was broken that the light could shine out. We think we have to be strong and mighty, but God is looking for us to be broken earthen vessels, to show forth his grace and power, to shine the light in a sinful world. We cannot have our way and his way in our lives. We need to make up our minds whether we are going to follow Jesus or not. The Apostle Paul was a man who knew what it was to suffer as for Jesus' sake. God will deliver those who trust in him through all their trials. Now, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, verses 3 to 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 to 12. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gifts granted to us through many. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, and we conduct ourselves in this world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. In the first two verses, we know that God doesn't just use trials to build us up only, but they are used to glorify God, that we might become a blessing or help to others and those who might be going through the same trials that we have just been delivered by God. And so the trials which is burdensome to us is so that we would trust God to bring us through. God comforts and strengthens us and builds us up and preserves, giving us hope. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need." God is calling us to come to him that we might that he might give us strength. I find that it is humbling. It is a humble heart that seeks God after God's help. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit convicting us, drawing us to God, that through our trials we would have compassion and a heart to bless others with what God has given us. In Acts 9, 4, and 5, Jesus asks Paul, then Saul, why he was persecuting him. And Jesus was suffering with the early church in their persecution. They were not suffering alone. He was right there with them. And Jesus will also come alongside of us when we are faced with troubles. When we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, God starts shaping and molding us into the image of his Son. Our old self dies and we become a new creation, which still needs to be pressed into his image. Jesus was not self-seeking. He did not come to fulfill his own will. He was sent to do the will of the Father. He was perfect. He was in perfect obedience to the will of the Father. We have a tendency to think that this life is for us, that we exist to do whatever we please, and the more we gain and hold on to, the better off we are, only to find out you've lost it all in the end. This is the self life, and Satan is more than happy to propagate this message to the world. But to deny self and to give up all for Christ's sake is to lose nothing in the end, but to preserve everything unto eternal life. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Pursuit of God, wrote, the way to deeper knowledge of God is through the lonely valley of soul poverty and abnegation of all things. The things Tozer is speaking of is the sin of placing anything in the place of God. He continues, The blessed ones who possess the kingdom are they who have repudiated every external thing and have rooted from their hearts all sense of possessing. These are the poor in spirit. They have reached an inward state of paralleling the outward circumstances of the common beggar in the streets of Jerusalem. That is, what the word poor, as Christ used it, actually means. These blessed poor are no longer slaves to the tyranny of things. They have broken the yoke of the oppressor, and this they have done not by fighting, but by surrendering. Though free from all sense of possessing, they yet possess all things. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To gain is not to possess or to hold on to the things of the world, but to give them up to God, for he can take better care of those things which we cherish, whether they be your health, your family, or even your possessions. They are all in better care with the Lord God. Matthew 6, verses 33 says, Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God wants us to seek his comfort, to be broken and poured out, to bear each other's burdens. We are one in Christ, and we are one part of the body. When one part of the body hurts and aches, the whole body aches. The sufferings of Christ are those afflictions we experience when we do his ministry. We don't bear these alone. Jesus is bearing the load with us as well. As well as believers, we are to bear the load of other members of the body. Though suffering may increase, so does God's comfort. He has an endless well of comfort to lift us up to persevere. Turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, it's a great psalm of David and his suffering. He shares, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David, in all his suffering through his life, was never taken out of his suffering, but God allowed him to suffer. God allowed Job to suffer much, much more than any man can bear alone. And while Job lost everything, he still said, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." God is building up his people. We first have to be stripped of our own strength and realize that Jesus is our refuge, the rock we cling to when the storms of life crash against us. We can have joy in our misery, for even if we were to die, we have the release of this life into the loving arms of the Lord and Savior. Proverbs 14, verse 32 says, "The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death." I don't know if this is comforting to you, but we are all going to die on time, and that death is not to be feared. For through death, we are made perfect in Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians 3, verses 7, starting at verse 7. Ephesians 3, starting at verse 7. "Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective work of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see," sorry, "and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. Oh, sorry, I'm reading the wrong. I was in Ephesians. I went to Philippians, sorry. You get so concentrated on something, you lose actually sight where you are, where you should be. Sorry, Philippians verses, chapter 3, verse 7. But what things we were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. We hold too tightly this world. To the wisdom of this world, we try to attain all that we can in this world. We try to live while also trying to live for God. Paul knows this cannot be done. We need to loosen our grip on this world, be conformed to Christ's death, meaning taking up our crosses daily. This means death to our plans, to what we may think is important, and seeking the life of Jesus, life in Jesus. It's in our nature to hold on to things and to accumulate. If you've ever gone through the clothes in your closet, I'm sure that you can find more than at least one or two pieces of clothing that you never wear anymore. And for whatever reason, they may be small or just out of style, you still haven't given them away. This can be hard. We hold on to the things that we cherish sometimes. Or we like to accumulate these things. We need to let go of those things that of these things. When we are conformed to Christ's death, we let go of the life we once knew, that we can be one with him in our resurrection. Back in our scripture, at verse 6 and 7, it says, "Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffered. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake in the consolation." If we want to become more like Jesus, we will suffer. Suffer for the gospel as he did. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Philippians 1, verse 29. When we have become one in Christ, we will suffer for his name's sake. Turn with me to Matthew 5. And here we are given the Beatitudes of Jesus. And notice how they're very much opposite to our own nature. They are very much opposite to the ways that we want to live. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I don't know if you read through those before, but they are pretty well impossible for us to live by on our own. It is only through the grace of Lord of God that we can say blessedness in our weakness. Jesus is the forerunner going on ahead of us, preparing a place for us in heaven. His sufferings were only for him to bear, for he was the only one who could bear them. But as we are molded into his likeness, we will too suffer without cause, but we can rejoice because our reward is not here on earth, but in heaven. We have no one where no one can take it away or steal it from us. Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church that God will comfort them and deliver them from their suffering. We all need to understand that God is refining us with a refiner's fire, working out our impurities, and we need to trust in him to deliver us. Paul, in verses 3-7, explains the comfort that God gives in suffering and that we can endure and become a blessing to others through our suffering. And now in verses 8-12, Paul explains the deliverance of our suffering is not in our own strength, but trusting in God to deliver us through it. Paul and his traveling companions were faced with burdens beyond what they could bear. They were to the point of wishing of death. If you want to read know exactly what they've all faced, you can read chapters 13-21 of Acts. I find comfort in this that Paul, the apostle of apostles, despaired even of life. This tells me that it is not of our own strength that we endure or could ever endure. Paul knew that he could not endure and that he could only trust in God. He had no other option. No other option was left. We often use up all our strength before we rest in God, as if the creator of this universe doesn't know what I'm going through and and the needs that are to go through it. As if God, the author and finisher of all life, does not understand. I'm being facetious. That's a tough word to say, actually. Maybe I shouldn't have used it then. to show how foolish we can be in our troubles, looking for a way out instead of looking to the one who can sustain us. In Jeremiah 17, so it's a verse that I'm brought back to many times. Verses 17 and 5-8 says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor shall cease from yielding fruit." The contrast of a man trusting in himself opposed to those who trust in God. Trusting in man is like the shrub, a small bush in the desert. It never grows because it can't. It's It can't. There is no water to allow it to. It only sees itself and does not even recognize when good comes. Contrasted that with those who trust in the Lord, they are like the tree which is large and grows even larger because of the endless supply of water it receives from the river. Its roots spread out and it bears much fruit, even when drought comes, because the roots go deep, that it is constantly nourished by the water. When we trust in Jesus as our Savior, we receive his nourishment through his Spirit, which dwells in us, strengthening us to bear what would destroy us. He enables us and endure to deliver us from death to life. Listen what David says in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 to 7. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the Lord, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and my horn of my salvation, my strength, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surround me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cries entered his ears." God has delivered us and does deliver us. He will deliver us when we trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. It is in our nature, it is in our natural tendency to lean on our own understanding, to try to figure things out on our own. We are going against the grain when we trust in Jesus, but we know that through it all, he is with us and will lift us up when we cannot stand. Paul encourages us to trust in God, but also to look to help those who are suffering, to suffer with them in prayer and heartache, that we may endure together as the body of Christ the afflictions we face, that we would conduct ourselves in the world in simplicity of one mind, and not in duplicity or double-minded, but simplicity of one mind, not conducting ourselves differently in the church as in the world, in one mind, in godly sincerity, that we would have a clear conscience serving our Lord. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful, Lord, for your examples, Lord, through your word. For those who have gone before us, who have suffered, and have been great examples for us to encourage us. We just ask, Lord, that you would strengthen us in this day to live for you, to not seek the wisdom of man, Lord, but to seek your wisdom first, that we would come to you in all situations, that we would lay all things before you in your care, whether it be our family, our possessions, Lord, our health, whatever it is, that we lay them all before you and ask you to lead and guide us, that you would strengthen us to do those things that you have asked us to do and to glorify you each and every day. We just ask for your blessing upon each and every one here today and to lead us and guide us in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.